Ready?
Yeah.
Let's get it on.
Okay.
So thank you very much for joining me today. So everyone, I'm back for another podcast. And I think all the topics we bring, of course, are very relevant today. We bring again something that is probably around the corner. We just don't really realize it. And I will let probably Nadine to talk a little bit more about it. So Nadine, thank you very much for joining us. Really a pleasure to have you in this podcast. I hope you have as fun as we used to have in the other ones.
Yeah.
And before we talk a little bit about the work you do and the topic mm-hmm. you're bringing, just probably give us a bit of introduction of who you are so we can also get to know you.
Yeah. My name's Nadina. I'm the founder of Conscious Change. So I'm a narcissistic abuse recovery coach, and I work with people who've been through narcissistic abuse, perhaps suffering the after effects of complex post-traumatic stress disorder, which is, it's like another variant of PTSD, and just kind of guiding them and helping them to overcome that so that they can thrive and go on to lead better lives.
So that everyone understands, what is the meaning, what is the understanding of narcissistic conscious abuse?
Well, narcissistic abuse, it's like a form of covert emotional abuse. So it can happen in any dynamic. It could be family, it could be a partner, it could be within the work environment, maybe a boss, someone like that. But it's usually a very kind of indirect, insidious type of abuse that it culminates over a period of time. So you don't realize it's happening to you. It could be like, for example, in little ways, like indirect remarks that chip away at your self-esteem, and that make you doubt yourself. If you're in a relationship with someone and they're doing that to you, bit by bit, you gradually lose your self-esteem, you lose your confidence. And it's designed to keep you under control. It's usually by someone who's very kind of highly manipulative, personality disordered, somebody that wants to have control, because the more beaten down you are, then the higher up they are and the more in control they are.
Is that something that it's, And you work with a lot of people, I trust, in that is suffering mm-hmm. with these type of things. Is that something that is getting more and more known, that people start to realize more these type of behaviors? And I have no really experience. I just understand yeah. the meaning of narcissist, and I kind of try to understand if I have it in my company as well.
Yeah.
is that something that is getting more and more also with this current society that is always in stress and career and stuff like that?
I wouldn't say it's getting more and more. I think it's always been there. It's just now the awareness is coming about. So people are starting to realize that there's actually a name for this. Whereas in the past, you probably would have dismissed it as like, oh, that person's difficult, or that person, because there's different types of narcissists. You can have covert ones, people who appear very nice on the outside, but then they do a lot of manipulative tactics in the background. Yeah. Or you can have the overt types, which is really obvious that there's something up with this person. So there's a whole spectrum from your garden variety narcissist all the way up to psychopathy, to psychopaths,
yeah. yes.
and everything in between there. And I think just now, with all the information that's flooding the internet nowadays, there's just a lot more information out there. People are becoming more aware. Whereas in the past, exactly like you just said, people thought narcissist was just that word for somebody who's a bit vain, maybe, you know, taking a selfie, making a joke out of it, that kind of thing. But not realizing that this is an actual personality disorder. It's a condition as such.
But let's speak that one. So, because I think it's super interesting. So my background is social sciences, and I have some psychology type of studies as well. Let's talk about narcissists, because as you rightfully said, if I go out and I ask maybe 9 out of 10 people,
yeah,
believe narcissist is a Cristiano Ronaldo taking care of his hair and making it.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
No, I mean, that's one tiny element of it. There's different, as I said before, there's different types of narcissists. So you might have a somatic narcissist, which means the body. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you'll have the Cristiano Ronaldos who are vain, and it's all about how they look and how, you know, attracting the opposite sex, or all about their appearances. But really, that's usually the lower end of the spectrum. So that idea of a narcissist is a very oversimplified version of the word. Really what we're talking about here is the personality disorder and how that inflicts abuse on a people to the point where a lot of people actually are driven to suicide because of this. So it's not just some kind of light topic that gets misused or light word that gets misused.
But because I have worked with quite few people that can be quite abrasive in the way they relate. And sometimes if you come from societies like Portugal or cultures like Portugal, sometimes the boss being abrasive or being tough or being sometimes I wouldn't say evil, but it almost gets like borderline with not necessarily being a good person. We tend to believe, but it's the boss, it's the pressure, it's the economy and stuff like that. But these behaviors, you can identify them, right? You can start to identify that there is someone that is somehow impacting your life by a type of behavior that is not just having a bad day or having a bad mood, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're always looking at the overall picture. You're not just looking at one or two behaviors that might occur throughout the day. You're looking at like a checklist of behaviors, like are they highly manipulative? Are they deceitful? Do they do, you know, sneaky things behind your back? Do they pit people against each other to turn everyone against each other? There's a whole different myriad of character traits that you're looking for, and you always need to look for all of these together rather than just one or two different characteristics. So it's really about taking in the bigger picture.
So let's speak a bit on your Instagram. I don't know if it's your Instagram account, but your project, the conscious abuse that I came across via Instagram. Where did you start it, and why did you start it, and what kind of feedback and what kind of interaction are you getting with the people around these accounts?
I started that really to spread awareness about this, because even though this information's now exploding on the internet, I think generally out there in the world, it's still quite unknown. And really, I just wanted to educate people because I've been through this. I know what it's like to, you know, be at rock bottom because of these types of characters. And I thought if I can just help one person just by explaining things, putting information out there, then I've made a difference. Then it hasn't all been in vain. It's happened for something.
And are you getting good reaction from people? Are you people writing you stories? They are trying to... I know that you do coaching, but sometimes they're not necessarily looking for a coaching experience, but rather just a nice word to make them feel that I'm not just an alien in this world.
Yeah, exactly. You get a lot of people sharing their stories in the comments. So I will do posts on different aspects of narcissistic abuse, and then people will comment and they'll share their stories. And what you see is trends of people saying, sharing pretty much the same stories, because there's this common theme with narcissists that it's almost like they've all been trained from the same manual. They all carry out the same tactics and the same behaviors, no matter what race, what gender, what religion. It's like they were all given the same manual at birth. So it's really quite interesting that you see people from all over the world, from every culture and every corner of the planet, just saying the same things. Yeah, my partner did that. My mother was like that, so forth. And just corroborating everything that you already know. So it's quite fascinating to see that.
And it's also one of the beauties of social media, right? You can reach out to masses. Necessarily. It's quite an easy way to get there. You touched that, and I don't know if you want to talk about it, and if you don't, just let me know, but I'm curious to know why did you start this, not necessarily the project, but also your work around the coaching on these areas, and you mentioned you had been this story. Would you mind to share with us what happened to a level, of course, you feel comfortable to?
Well, I'll just give a basic overview. I've experienced a lot of narcissists throughout my life. From relationships to people I worked with, and they can really bring you to your knees in a sense that they can destroy your career and they can destroy your personal life. If you're in a relationship with a narcissist, once that relationship ends, they make it their their whole kind of life intention to bring you down after that. So that includes like smearing your name to people, setting up things to make you look bad, really destroying your character and your name. And that can have such a toxic effect on people that it really crushes them. And because I've been through that, I feel that I should use it to try and help someone else.
But I was reading that the vast majority of successful CEOs in organizations are either narcissists or really psychopaths.
Yeah.
Which is scary. Yeah. when we talk about what you just said now, and some of them have a quite negative impact on people's life.
Yeah. Do you,
all of them have an intentional behavior to cause harm on others, or is sometimes just happening because it's the way the personality works?
I wouldn't say necessarily an intentional harm towards others, not always in every given situation. Basically, the narcissist is all about satisfying their own needs and also that sense of grandiosity. So, you know, you do find them in those positions because they want to be the most powerful. They want to be on top. They crave power, they crave success, and they crave admiration. So you're going to find this as CEOs and presidents of countries. And that's where they naturally gravitate. They always go wherever there's money, power, or status, basically.
But don't you think that it's a bit of contradictory that a lot of these people that are influencers, they get followed by thousands of people in social media. They are seen as an example of leadership and successful stories. They are then, personality-wise, people that is causing a lot of damage in some other people's life.
Oh, that depends on the influencer though, right? I mean, it depends what they're doing, what kind of information they're putting out there. It's not to say that every influencer out there is a narcissist.
No, it's not what I said. What I mean is, for example, a CEO of an organization that obviously and not always, so of course a disclaimer, but let's pick one that, and I have a few in mind that are quite successful, but they are also quite, I can feel that they are quite narcissists.
Okay.
But when you're following them on social media, what you're seeing is the public part of their attitude, right? Is the way they relate to their communication, the way they share very much everything you want to hear. Because that's a little bit of the manipulation part. But on the other hand, towards some of the people they relate with, they are causing a lot of damage. I want to talk a little bit more about what kind of issues this is causing, but so they are followed by people that sees them as a reference also in the companies, for example, but on the other hand they are causing a lot of harm to others because of their behaviors. Isn't this a bit of contradictory?
In what sense? Can you clarify?
Yeah, it's okay. So a same person can be a driver and a leader to someone, but can be a damaging individual to someone else in a very tough way. That's what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, they can be a driver and a leader because they command that, right? But it doesn't mean that they're not abusing their employees too. They could be abusing in their personal life and also in their work life.
Yeah. Okay. So let's then focus a little bit more on the, for example, at home.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was in yours or someone else, I read a statement that usually says narcissists can't parenting or can't do parenting, something like that.
Okay, yeah.
So how do you see this type of behavior, for example, in children education? Because they get kids a lot of times. And I'm saying they, I don't even know who are they, right? I could also be, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I swear I'm not, I promise.
Yeah.
But let's assume that this type of people have children and they influence their education. What is the impact you believe this causing in the personality and the development of these children that are going through this type of relationships with a narcissist that is also their father, for example, or their mother?
Mm-hmm. Well, first and foremost, narcissists only really have children for their own status, for their own well-being, either because they want someone to be there for them, to look after them, to support them emotionally, perhaps, or because it brings status, it brings normality, it gives that appearance of having normality, you know, getting married, having kids, ticking all the so-called boxes that society asks of us. But when it comes to actually influencing the kids, most of them don't really care about the kids. They care about what the kids can do for them. So maintain, like I said, maintaining that image and what the kids might be able to do for them when they're older. But a lot of them actually aren't there for their kids. They neglect them. They abuse them in the same way they would a partner. So damaging their self-esteem, damaging their confidence, a lot of them even setting them up for failure later in life. Like, basically putting things in place that, you know, discouraging them from having education. Whereas then you get the ones on the opposite extreme who will push their kids towards the best universities and the best careers because that's a reflection on their status. So again, it depends on the type of narcissist, but you have ones that deliberately destroy their kids' lives and you have other ones that just want to extract status from them.
And what about with the overall, for example, between a couple or let me put a different example because that one is more interesting. If this type of behavior that you have, for example, my father is a narcissist or my mother is a narcissist, yeah, has a personality disorder, this type of impact will go with me towards all my life, right? Without necessarily me being able to understand that I'm under that type of behavior.
Yeah.
How do we identify, how do we feel that we are getting massively impacted by this type of influence, though we don't know about it?
Well, you see, this is part of the problem. Because you grow up in that environment, most people don't realize that it's actually a toxic, unhealthy environment that they've grown up in. So they grow up with all these kind of toxic behaviors imparted on them and they think it's normal. So therefore later on in life, they go on to repeat that with their partners. They seek out partners who are also of a similar nature because we tend to attract what's familiar, what feels like home. So that's how it impacts later on in life. I've forgotten the first part of your question.
That was more like, how do we identify that you are in a situation where you are being affected by this type of behavior?
For a large part, most people don't realize. They think that those feelings that they have, like you could have anxiety, depression, you could just not be thriving, not succeeding in life, but you might not necessarily relate that to, say, your upbringing or the fact that you were married to a narcissist for 20 years and that could have impacted on you. And a lot of times people don't realize and they're searching, right? They're searching for information. They're trying to figure out what's wrong with them. And they don't realize it's because of the environment that they've been in.
Yeah, interesting. And I really find this very interesting because I think it's the first time I'm even thinking about the narcissist as such a big impact in people's life. Hmm. How do we develop this type of personality? Is that something, because we are not born as narcissists, right? Mm-hmm. There is something that is causing us to drive towards that type of personality. Could be genetics, part extent, could be education, could be environment. What are the real drivers that can create people, can develop this type of personalities in people that later on just causes so much harm to others?
Usually it's childhood abuse or neglect that will cause that in the child. So having a narcissistic parent or a caregiver, whoever raised you, usually that's where it stems from. Occasionally it can be caused from spoiling the child. So say you have a little girl and you constantly tell her she's beautiful and she's amazing and she's the best child that, you know, ever came into this world. Constantly giving a child that amount of praise and adulation will also cause it too. But usually it's more on the abuse side of things, that the narcissist has been raised in an abusive family and it's learned behavior until eventually it comes to a point where it becomes ingrained in them. They don't have any conscience. They don't have any empathy. So they have no ability to put themselves in somebody else's shoes. So therefore, if I can't feel what it feels like to have this happen to me, let's say, or I should say really, if I can't put myself in your shoes, then why would I care? Then that this is why they do what they do, because they don't have the ability to put themselves in their shoes. So therefore they just go ahead with whatever they want to do. There's no conscience in place that's stopping them.
Yeah. But do you think, is there, because if you have other types of personality disorders, there are sometimes support groups, and there are ways that you can identify that and do something to make it, I would say control it, right? Is there any kind of school of thought about how do we identify ourselves as being a narcissist that has suffering as a personality disorder that is causing damage to others, and then you can do something like therapy or whatever to help us control these type of impulses? Is that something that comes across to you as well?
It's not something that will really work, because once the child has gotten past a certain age, which I think usually is kind of early teens, there's very little you can do to reverse that. If there's no conscience or empathy in place, you can't rewire the brain. Their brain is wired differently. And it actually, in terms of psychopaths, it actually shows up on brain scans. There's a certain part of the brain that doesn't activate when they're doing brain scans, and that's where the conscience is, where empathy is held. And that doesn't activate in the brain of a psychopath. So there's no going back and rewiring that. You can't change it. You can't just ask them to go to therapy and become a better person. But also, you've got to remember that the reason they do these things is because it works for them. Like manipulation tactics, doing underhanded things, it gets them what they want. So why would they want to stop?
Yeah, but and I tend to agree with you with a psychopath, but narcissist is not a psychopath, right?
No, it's different. Psychopaths tend to be born, whereas narcissists are created by their environment. But ultimately, the behaviors between both are very similar.
So but psychopath has more genetic influence, and therefore I agree that you cannot rewire it to a certain extent. But some things that are, and there is a big impact of, for example, primary socialization on narcissist personality, because it's what they have been exposed in the beginning, as you said.
Yeah.
Take it as granted that this is the society they have to live with.
Mm-hmm.
But you can reverse let's take, for example, narcissist out, and let's go for a slum type of areas where you have a lot of criminality.
Yeah.
People is born and raised as in crime, and the parents are carrying guns and they're shooting around and they're robbing. Mm-hmm. A lot of those kids, they tend to believe that that's the way to live, and they kind of program themselves to become violent, to become aggressive.
Yeah.
But there are ways to reverse that. And there are a lot of examples of people that understood that that's just wrong. And then they reprogrammed with behavioral therapy. How could they identify some of those behaviors and not necessarily act on it? Because there is a difference between being a bad person or being raised bad that literally influences your behavior, not because you are doing it negatively and intentionally, but rather because you don't realize it.
Yeah, there is definitely, yeah. But the difference being that perhaps they didn't have a personality disorder to begin with. They were just raised in a violent household, so they saw that as normal. And then they got to a certain stage of their life and realized it wasn't. So they went back and tried to change that, essentially. Mm-hmm. Whereas with narcissistic personality disorder, it can't be changed. I'd be hard-pressed to find one that's gone back and normalize themselves, so to speak.
Okay. And I'm just trying to
usually what happens with a narcissist or a psychopath when they go into therapy, what they do is they use the therapy to learn how to manipulate better. So they'll go see the therapist, say it's a marriage, and one spouse will ask them, will say, okay, you need to go to therapy for your behavior. They'll agree, they'll go along. And then the therapist will start asking them questions and saying, you know, why do you do this? And, you know, you should try and do that. And they memorize these things for later so that they can manipulate better later on. So all they do is they use the therapy to their advantage. They don't actually want to change.
But you also have examples of narcissists that are manipulative and they use other people to achieve their goals without necessarily having a negative impact on others, right? So there are also examples of people that just manipulate, I would say lightly, there's not such a thing, but without necessarily affecting your ego or saying that you are wrong or that you are a bad person. That's also exists, right? It's not all like extremely negative.
No, like I said, it's a spectrum. And what you're referring to is the garden variety of narcissists. So maybe the somatic one that's just concerned with their image, or someone, like you said, that's light on the spectrum.
Yeah. So let's focus a little bit more on the work you do and of course, knowing the limitations of what you can talk, but what kind of work you try to do with the people that comes to you and what kind of coaching you do and guidance you help in order to deal with these type of situations because this is also kind of mental health. Support, right?
Yeah.
Not kind of, it's actually completely.
So
what kind of work do you do and how do you deal with that first? And second question, I can also ask you later if you forget, is how do you make sure that you don't drown in those stories and also that you also have experience and somehow it also affects you?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, when people come looking for coaching, it's because they're in dire circumstances. They're in a really bad place emotionally. And really the first step is they need to educate themselves about the disorder. They need to learn everything they can about it to understand how and why the narcissist manipulates them. Because without that foundation of understanding, you can't really move on from there. First of all, you need to understand it, why it's happened, and also why you attracted that into your life. Because narcissists tend to focus on people that have codependency issues, people that have poor boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. So if you've been involved with a narcissist, you've actually got to ask yourself too, what role did I play in this to attract someone like that? And also to tolerate someone like that for so long. So that's a big part of it. And I would say that a lot of the people that come to me, they're so broken in their self-esteem that you really need to just start building them from the bottom up again. That's really where we start, what we look at. Giving them techniques to implement boundaries with difficult people, giving them techniques to build their own self-esteem, to start to believe in themselves again. Because after you've come out of a relationship with a narcissist, you've lost all sense of yourself, all sense of belief of who you are and what you're capable of.
But how hard is to, and that's probably not all hard, but how do you feel about the complexity of reverse engineering a situation like that, right? If you get to a point where you are rock bottom, and your brain is completely messed up, your life is very much in a place where you have no idea where to go. Mm-hmm. Reverse engineering something like that, it's a very complicated topic, a very complicated process, right? So how do you get people to reverse that? And do you go through stories? Do you go through, behavioral training? How do you, because it's a very deep thing.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you start from the basics and it's a journey. It's not something that you can just overcome from one day to the next. But really just like through exercises, learning about the subconscious mind too, because a lot of people that have been through narcissistic abuse will go back to the abuser, and that's very common. Like they say, the average abuse victim leaves the person 7 times before they finally finish it for once, forever. And the reason for that is because we have programs going on in our subconscious mind that we've probably had since childhood that are telling us that, you know, we're not good enough, we deserve this on some level, and that have trained us to tolerate these behaviors. So as a coach, what you need to do is you need to go in and first educate them about how the subconscious mind works, that it's so much more powerful than the actual conscious mind, and that's what's controlling our lives. And then we do exercises to work them through that. So different types of exercises just to get them thinking about things differently and learning to recognize their own self-worth.
And have you been, and of course, I don't know, I assume so, but have you been successful with the majority of the people you work with, or is it's not easy to be, well, I don't know what successful means, but
yeah,
to a certain extent, people have been able to get back to their lives in a
yeah, there's no final end destination as such. Like I said, it's a journey, but yeah, like I've definitely gotten people from the lowest place they've been to somewhere where they feel like, okay, I'm in control now. Like, I don't think there's ever 100% healing for someone that's been through this. You're always healing. You're always learning. You're always advancing. But definitely, like, bringing people from rock bottom to a healthy place where they feel back in control of their life, it's very doable.
So now back to the second question I had before.
Yeah.
How do you work yourself to not get sucked to these issues that your people you work with are facing, because you face yourself? And so Mentally, if you have mental issues, as you said, it's a journey, it's a continuous program, a continuous process.
Mm-hmm. So
there is always day by day things that could ultimately bring you back to a place where you don't want to be. How do you fight them?
I don't think it would ever bring me back to a place where I was before, because I've come so far in my own healing journey that I'll never go back to that, to where I was. And plus, I have the tools in place now myself to deal with these things. So if something does affect me or it triggers me in some way, I know how to deal with that. But of course, yeah, you're right. Like, some of the things people tell you are so heavy and traumatizing for them, never mind you, that it does have an effect on you. And you just have to try and put a barrier between that. And obviously then we have, like, there are other coaches that I know, and we coach with ourselves. So that's kind of a way of offloading things too when it gets too much.
And that's fine. And I completely understand. So, but I'm not talking with you, my experience with this project. So I talk to people like we're talking today, but we also talk on stories like I just talked a few days ago with Julia about female genital cutting and domestic violence and child abuse.
Yeah.
So I tell you, for me, has been a really tough journey to not start getting incredibly negative about the world.
Yeah.
And to not lose hope on humankind. So how do you deal with it?
Well, I've come through the other side and I've realized that everything comes down to you. It's about your boundaries and it's about believing in yourself and having faith and confidence to know that you won't choose those type of people again once you've learned. Once you've woken up to this, there's no going back. It's like taking the red pill. You won't go back into an abusive situation once you've built yourself up. And I know myself now that I can recognize these people. I can see these situations coming. So I can just sidestep it and be confident in myself that I know how to handle it.
I need to develop those protocols in myself. I think we are closing. We are coming to an end on our time. And I think it was a very interesting conversation.
Yeah.
So usually I ask people to give like the summary statements or one statement in 2 minutes, whatever, to kind of close this conversation in what you would like people to take home. And I think they take home all the conversation, but usually you have this final or one strong statement that is what you want people to think about, because this project is also about inspiring others to do something and make the world a better place. And so what would be your, if I would have to ask you now, what would be your...
No pressure. What would be my final statement?
Yeah, I wouldn't say final statement, but what would you like people to take home and think about?
I guess really just to be aware that this exists, because a lot of people don't believe it does. They think, oh, it just happened to that person because they're weak, or, you know, they chose a toxic partner, whereas in actuality, it happens to all types of people. It happens to highly educated people. It happens to people who are very strong mentally, but maybe the narcissist found them when they're at a vulnerable point in their lives. And I would say just to keep an open mind if you hear someone talking about these things, because there's a tendency to not believe when you hear these things. Some of the things that victims of narcissistic abuse report often sound so outlandish that people don't believe it. And I would say just keep an open mind and always educate yourself. Keep learning, because that's the key to everything, really.
Okay, cool. So, Nadina, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed, and I think there's a lot of things for people to think of, and to probably inform and educate. I definitely learned quite a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for your time, and I hope we keep connected.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you.